Take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel chapter 26. Bill, how do you work your machine? Oh, okay, great. This section has to do with the city of Tyre. And if you look on a map, if you go from the middle of the Sea of Galilee, which you all know, and you go over to the sea coast, that's Mount Hermon. And if you go 50 miles north of Hermon, you're at Tyre. You go 20 miles north of that, you're at Sidon. And Sidon is equal to Damascus, so you kind of have a box idea of where it is. It was certainly not that far from Israel. Israel actually had times in its existence when its influence extended all the way up, even past Tyre. It's a city that was in existence when Joshua came into the land. So it's an ancient seaport town. And during different times of its history, it was actually working together with Israel, and the other times it fought against it. Most of the time, it's been an enemy of Israel, and that would be the case today. Lebanon has not made any friends with Israel, as it's allowed Hezbollah to be housed in its region. So today, Lebanon would be considered an enemy of Israel. It was a time when there was a strong Christian population in Lebanon. And you could actually travel to Lebanon and go there on vacation. And it was a relatively safe, prosperous region. And those days are pretty much long gone. There's a huge amount of information in Scripture about Tyre. Almost as much about Tyre as there is in Babylon. So we're going to take three Sundays and familiarize ourselves with the prophecies concerning Tyre. If you look in chapter 26, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in the 11th year, on the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying," it doesn't say which month, but the assumption is it's the first day of the first month, but we really don't know. This prophecy actually preceded the fall of Jerusalem. It preceded it. Nebuchadnezzar came down and he sacked Israel, sacked Jerusalem in 586. This prophecy concerning Tyre precedes the fall of Jerusalem. And what actually happened was Nebuchadnezzar came down, took him 2 years to sack Jerusalem, and after that he spent 13 years in siege of Tyre and eventually conquered Tyre. So here's a picture of some guys spreading their nets. If I had it, I would show it, but I don't. I remember as a kid my pastor showing a slide of fishermen at Tyre where they were putting their nets out. Today, all you can do is get a picture out of a book someplace because it's a thriving metropolis. Let me get the next slide. All right, you can see this is a kind of a Israeli map. In our maps, north is always on the top. That's not the case with Israeli maps. So as you look at this, going along the coastline, you can see Tyre and Sidon. They're along the coast. Next slide. This is after Alexander the Great, 300 BC. He actually conquered the city. There are two cities. One was on an island, and it was separated by a half a mile from the coastland. So the fortress of Tyre was on an island with a causeway of water between the land, and you can see where that causeway has been filled in. Alexander the Great, when he came, he took the old cities, which were on the seacoast, and he took all of the rubble from that after he destroyed those cities, and his slaves took and filled the causeway in, and they actually filled in the ocean, that half mile, they filled it in with all the rubbish from the cities and made a causeway, a walkway to it, changed it from an island to a peninsula. So that's the way it is today, to this very day. The ocean never came back and washed it away. It's not an island anymore. It's a peninsula. In the time of Nebuchadnezzar, this city was very difficult to conquer. They would sacrifice all the sister cities, the daughter cities on the coast, and everybody would leave the coast and take boats, and they'd go over to the city on the island. And then they'd defend that. So they couldn't attack it by sea because Tyre had a very excellent, strong navy. They dominated the Mediterranean. They actually took control of all of the Mediterranean area by their ability with ocean-going ships. So they couldn't attack it by sea, and there was no other way to get. So it was really a very, very safe city. And they just, you know, sacrificed the poor schlubs that lived on the land, and the rest of it, they would go back and rebuild after the war was over. But Nebuchadnezzar actually did conquer it. It took him 13 years, and actually he ended up with a settlement. They made a peace, and they had a new king, and the new king made a peace, but it was considered a defeat. The next slide. All right, here's can't very well see that, so I hate PowerPoint. Anyway, that's the modern city of Tyre, seashore, boats, thriving metropolis. Let me see the next one. Cities down the street looks a lot like the old Jerusalem. This is actually the Christian quarter of Tyre. Next one. The whole coastline is lined with apartments, and it's a modern city today. I think I have one more. No. Next one. All right, here you can go on Google and reserve your hotel reservations. Vacation home near the beach with a garden view, a swimming pool, playground, and parking, pet friendly, $85 a night. That's not bad, eh? What's the downside? It's in Lebanon. Yeah. But here's, you know, you can reserve your hotels, and here's a whole house you can rent for $84 a night in the city of Tyre. Next one. It has the best beaches of anywhere in the region. If you want nice beaches, you go to Tyre. They have beaches like this on both sides because that nice causeway, they trucked in sand along that thing. So they've got just great beachfront property here. Next one. And here's Google Earth. This is the peninsula of Tyre. I want you to notice that it's completely and totally fully inhabited. You see that? All of those streets, I mean, they've got parks. This is a thriving, living city. Fair enough. That's all I wanted you to see. This city, Tyre, is in great condition. If you have to visit Lebanon, you want to make sure you put Tyre on the visiting trip. Okay? All that's introduction. Now let's go to the actual study of Ezekiel. Go ahead to the next slide. Now if you look at the whole section here, this prophecy says, I'm sorry about the pun, it will be entirely destroyed. It hasn't been. And when you come to these Old Testament prophecies, you have to make some decisions. One of those decisions is to try to take what's in your text and squeeze it into history. And that's what all of your commentaries do. So they explain away, they modify, they change what the text says. I don't think that's right. You aren't going to find in history all of the prophecies concerning Ezekiel fulfilled. And so we'll look at all three of these chapters. Chapter 26 is four prophecies concerning Tyre. Chapter 27 is a lament that's taken over Tyre. And the next chapter, 28, is actually a division between the prince of Tyre, who's the king, and the king of Tyre, who is Lucifer. And the point of this prophecy is that as certain is the destruction of Tyre, so is the certain destruction of Lucifer. So we need to look through all three of these chapters and see what what the scope of this scripture is about. All right, next slide. In verses 1 through 6, Ezekiel teaches that the nations are going to come up against Tyre like waves of the sea. We've already done verse 1. Let's look at verse 2. Son of man, because Tyre has set against Jerusalem, aha. That's the same phrase we saw in chapter 25. And it means that they're celebrating the opportunity to take advantage of one of their neighbors. In this case, they see an economic advantage in the destruction of Jerusalem. When you look at the trade routes, you have to think of this area without a Suez Canal. If you have no Suez Canal, how do you get stuff from one part, from say the Orient or Africa, over to Eurasia or Asia Minor? And the only way to do it is to go through Israel and then to Tyre. So all that commerce that Tyre had came through Israel. It would come up the Gulf of Aqaba and go up the King's Highway and then cut across to the coast and then up the coast. So it came that way. Now, what Tyre saw with the destruction of Jerusalem and the removal of Israel is an opportunity for economic advancement. So they were thrilled to pieces that Israel was going to be destroyed and then they would have those trade routes. She is broken, who was the gateway of the peoples. Now she is turned over to me. I shall be filled. She is laid waste. So in verse 2, what he's prophesying is that Tyre is going to be destroyed. And the reason it will be destroyed is because she delighted in Jerusalem's demise. And God is going to fracture. He's going to shatter this city that's considered the gateway of the peoples. And he's going to make it a place of ruin. He's going to totally ruin it. By the way, today Tyre, the name of Tyre is Sur, S-U-R, which is actually the Hebrew word for the city, which is S with a historically long O or U. But it's the same spelling as the Hebrew. So, I mean, the modern name today is, there's no question about what city we're talking about. It's the modern city of Sur today. In verse 4, or verse 3, the key here is to understand how this is going to happen. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am bringing against you, I'm against you, O Tyre, and I will cause many nations to come up against you as the sea causes its waves to come up. So if you've ever been to the ocean and you have one wave after the other, he says that's how this nation is going to be destroyed. It's going to be one after another. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. This actually, in history, was literally fulfilled. All of the seacoast towns were scraped flat as a rock, and all that rubbish was pitched into the causeway, and Alexander built a causeway out to the city. And it was, it's a play on words as well, because Sur in Hebrew means rock, small rock, and he's saying that it's going to be a shiny rock, it's going to be a scraped place, and the dust and everything else is going to be gone. Verse 5. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea, for I have spoken, says the Lord God, and it shall become plunder for the nations. Also her daughter villages, this would be the ones on the coast, her daughter villages, which are in the field, shall be slain by the sword. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. So in the first section, verses 1 to 6, he simply says that the nation after nation after nation is going to come against this city. All right, next slide. In the next section, verses 7 through 14, he specifically names Nebuchadnezzar. Some of your texts may have a different spelling for Nebuchadnezzar. It's just a variant. But Nebuchadnezzar is laid out here because the people were hoping that they would survive the invasion from Nebuchadnezzar. They're safe in their island city. But Nebuchadnezzar decided to spend 13 years conquering it, and he eventually did. Here, the prophet Ezekiel predicts the destruction by Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 7, "For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon." Here he's king of kings. He actually was a world ruler. In terms of the times of the Gentiles, the first world ruler, king of kings, with horses, with chariots, with horsemen, and an army with many people. "He will slay the sword your daughter villages in the fields. He will heap up a siege mound against you, build a wall against you, raise a defense against you. He will direct his battering rams against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. Because of the abundance of his horses, their dust will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of the horsemen, the wagons, the chariots, when he enters your gates as men enter a city that has been breached, like a big hole in it. With the hooves of his horses, he will trample all your streets. He will slay your young people by the sword, and your strong pillars will fall to the ground. They will plunder your riches and pillage your merchandise. They will break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses. They will lay your stones, your timber, and your soil in the midst of the water. I will put an end to the sound of your songs, and the sound of your harps will be heard no more. I will make you like the top of a rock. You shall be a place for spreading nets, and you shall never be rebuilt. For I, the Lord, have spoken, says the Lord God." Now, notice verses 13 and 14. He brings in Nebuchadnezzar. This doesn't alter what he says in the first section. The first section is that it's going to be destroyed like waves of the sea, nation after nation after nation. He doesn't say that Nebuchadnezzar is going to be the one who destroys it forever. He says Nebuchadnezzar is going to destroy it. But when you get down to verse 13, "The sound of your harps, the sound of your songs will be heard no more." Notice verse 14, "You shall never be rebuilt." Never be rebuilt. So it's a permanent destruction of the city. This has not been fulfilled. All right, next slide. In verses 15 to 18, he talks about the impact of the destruction of Tyre on all of the other coastland cities. And the other coastland cities are going to tremble. If Tyre can fall, then there's no hope for the rest of us. "Thus says the Lord God of Tyre, Will the coastlands not shake at the sound of your fall, when the wounded cry, when the slaughter is made in the midst of you? When all the princes of the sea, that is all these other coast towns, will come down from their thrones, lay aside their robes, take off their embroidered garments. They will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground, tremble every moment and be astonished at you. And they will take up a lamentation for you and say to you, How you have perished, O one inhabited by seafaring men, O renowned city, who was strong at sea, she and her inhabitants, who caused their terror to be on all the inhabitants." Because Tyre was the center of their war, and they would go out by boats and attack all of the other coastland cities. "Now the coastlands tremble on the day of your fall. Yes, the coastlands by the sea are troubled at your departure." All right, the last section of verses here. Next slide. "The city will be submerged and will be forgotten. For thus says the Lord God, when I make you a desolate city, like the cities that are not inhabited." Is Tyre inhabited today? Yeah, absolutely. It's absolutely there. "When I bring the deep upon you and great waters cover you." So, now while it's possible that there could be figures of speech involved here, I don't think so. He says that this city is actually going to be submerged. He says the same thing about Babylon. Most of the commentaries try to say, well, this is just figures of speech. But as you look at the number of times that he repeats it through these three chapters, it's not. He's saying, you seafaring men, you think that you run the sea. I'm going to show you who runs the world. And it's not Tyre, it's me. And actually, as you look at the scenario that's developed here between Lucifer and God, it's a point that God is making that he is the ruler of the world. And so this city that thinks it manages the ocean and manages the sea in the time future, Christ is going to sink that thing. and it's going to be covered with water, and it's going to be uninhabited. Look at verse 19. When I bring the deep upon you, and the great waters cover you. So, in verse 20, then I will bring you down with those who descend into the pit, to the people of old, that is, to these, the ones who died long before, this channel in the earth down to Sheol. And I will make you dwell in the lowest parts of the earth, in places desolate from perpetuity. And with those who go down to the pit, so that you may never be inhabited. Again, never be inhabited. And I shall establish glory in the land of the living. The land of the living here, the glory that he's going to establish is Israel. This ancient enemy of Israel, even to this very day, is going to be destroyed, and it's going to be submerged under the water. It's going to be uninhabited, and the glory is going to be to the Jews in the land of the living. Verse 21, I will make you a terror, and you shall be no more. In other words, it will be a byword for other cities. Don't do that to the God of Israel, or you'll end up like Tyre, or Sur in our modern terminology. Don't do that, or else. The same thing we do today with Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, man, you do that sin, and you're going to end up like Sodom or Gomorrah. I will make you a terror, and you shall be no more. Though you are sought for, you will never be found again, says the Lord God. Now, my point to you is real simple. This scripture has not been fulfilled. You have to explain away not only this chapter, but all of the other references that you will, you know, even in, we'll look at them later. But he talks about in the midst of the sea, will fall into the midst of the sea on the day of your ruin. He goes through this whole thing and establishes that they will never again happen. They'll never be inhabited. It's going to be done. There will be no Tyre in the millennium. It's over. It's finished. It's sunk. And it's destroyed because of their treatment of the nation of Israel. So, you know, a couple of applications on this. One, according to the eternal covenant that Isaiah talks about, as you treat the Jews, as you treat Israel, so you will be treated. Certainly a good application of this passage. And another application, if you... Next slide, Bill. Wake up, Bill. Be serious about your faith and believe your Bible. Okay? Don't let commentaries... Don't let educated teachers talk you out of what Scripture says. The best place to start is with your Bible. In fact, you'll find that the Bible sheds huge amount of light on commentaries. Ignore the commentaries and look at what he says. What's he saying? Well, he's telling us that because Tyre did this, they're going to be sunk below the waters and be uninhabited and be forgotten. One of the neat things about going to Africa is that we're getting to establish with these pastors a frame of reference that's grace-based and a normal hermeneutic, a normal handling of Scripture. And it is so much fun to be able to do that. What does it say? Well, that's what it says. What does it mean? Well, it means what it says. And so you want to always go with that as a church, as your own Bible study. Look at what it says. And if that's what it says, then believe it. Well, what about all these other things? And this doctor says that. Don't worry about it. Put your faith in Scripture. And that's really the starting point for everything we have to do with the Lord. Let's pray. Father,